Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 151 for the 5th of November, 2011. I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined via Skype with Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, man? How's that toast going, Josh?
Done. I'm finished, man. I'm good. I'm good.
I was hoping we'd have munching all the way through the show.
No, dude, I'm just a little off schedule today because unfortunately Uncharted 3 is out, which means that I am digging into that like nobody's business. So a lot of sleep missed and a lot of late getting up this morning.
Fair enough.
I don't know how you can have a lot of getting up late in the morning, but anyway, yep.
Well, you can get up late in the morning, I guess. A lot of the time.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. All right. This is Geek Actually. This is the show all about geek crap that we only care about. And it kind of combines the old tech show and the after show into one podcast where we kind of just go through the week's geekiest weirdness that we can find. Thanks to David Murray, who has been a wonderful researcher for us for the last few months. It has been fantastic to have him on board. Josh, it is a sad day.
Yeah, I know.
And I think we should bring this up right now because we'll get this out of the way and then we can have some fun. What do you think?
All right.
So just for those who haven't heard, there's a few people who have. We've kept it kind of under wraps. It's only a fairly last-minute thing that's come up this week, which is why the last-minute notice. But this will be the last episode of Geek Actually that we produce.
Which makes me incredibly sad.
Me too. Trust me. 151 episodes and 3 years later, we are retiring Geek Actually, the podcast. The reason for this is because of new work commitments that have come up for me. And it's just going to be too hard to try and do this show.
Well, realistically, you may not be able to.
Well, and I may not be able to because of conflicts of interest and so forth. So we are going to stop this. However, there is a silver lining here. The silver lining is that the Film Actually show will continue as normal. That doesn't have any conflicts, and we love our Film Actually, and so we're going to keep going with Film Actually as long as we can possibly do it, probably until we're old and gray. We also just launched another brand new podcast as well, which we can also say that.
So it's kind of one dies and the other rises from the ashes.
And one comes forward. That's right. The other one is Behind the Panels, which is our comic book club type podcast, which is still in beta. We're still developing it. So if you come along and send us feedback, you can help us craft the show into shape. It's only been on one issue so far, and we've just recorded a second. So that'll be going out in the feed soon. The other bad news, though, is that we are going to suspend live shows after this week, just for a while. We don't know if we're coming back for live shows or not. Once again, this is because of work commitments, and I don't know what the schedule is yet. And because I don't know what the schedule is, there's just no way we can schedule a regular live show. What we will do, though, is keep the live feeds and everything alive, and if we get like a special we want to do or something like that, we might put it out and say, we're going to do a special next Wednesday night, blah, 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 and then do a live show, you know? So don't just discount the live show completely. We will be back, I'm sure, for the live show. But yeah, Geek Actually is unfortunately dying. It's been a good ride, though, Josh.
It has. We've talked about a lot of things.
We have. We've covered tech. We've covered weirdness. We've covered Rumspringer. We've covered all sorts of stuff.
We've covered some important stuff. We've covered the R18 kind of situation. We've covered the MBN, you know, coming into Australia. We've covered censorship.
Absolutely.
In Australia.
I think we should make this very clear as well. Things like censorship and the NBN and the R rating for games and things like that, these are important issues. And if there was ever any massive movement on this, we would find places in either Film Actually or the Comic Book Show to talk about this. Because we are advocates for censorship and against censorship and for freedom of speech and so forth. So these are things that kind of our charter to cover these things. So even though Geek Actually won't be around, we will still always be keeping our eye on this stuff. Because I think it's important. Now, I have something here for you, Josh. Actually, I have it for everybody, but you haven't heard this yet, so I thought I'd play this. Richard decided that he couldn't, well, he didn't decide. He was actually, other commitments, he couldn't make it here today for this show, if people are wondering where Richard is. But it's our last Geek Actually show, and he felt he could not have his presence not here. So he sent us this little message.
Here we go.
Hey guys, sorry I couldn't make it in today. Big show, huh? Last Geek Actually. A bit historic, really. I guess I'll just say something. I always remember the highlights of the show looking back. For example, my first show was a big one for you, I guess. I mean, it must have really been a coup to get the guy from TheRealBits.com on your show to talk about some of the stuff that he does on TheRealBits.com and, you know, really add my insight and wisdom to your show. So really, I think it's just been great to watch the show improve steadily over the last few months since I've been on it. It's just really encouraging, you know? So anyway, look, congrats, guys, on your final show. It's been a blast. I'll just give you a few sound bites that you might want to drop in throughout the show. Maybe just pretend that I'm actually there. Yeah, that's what she said. TheRealBits.com. Well, just to get off topic for a second, have you guys heard the story about the watermelons? Yeah, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit. Yeah. Yeah, Josh, I totally agree with you on that. David, just grab hold of yourself. I'm not wearing pants. David, get your damn hands off me. So anyway, that should cover it. Again, congrats, guys, and good luck with the final show.
Thank you, Richard.
Oh, Jesus, that was painful. Thank God it's over. What? Oh, shit, I'm still recording.
Thank you, Richard. And I don't think I'll cut any of those sound bites. I have to put throughout the whole show, but thank you anyway.
However, funnily enough, that'd probably fit perfectly into any situation we had to
pretty much. I think he always had the right phrase for us. Richard will, of course, be back for the Film Actually show, hopefully next week. I know he's got a few commitments this month. I think he's missing a total of 3 shows or something. So we will we'll get him in as often as we can. Okay, with that all being said, let's move on to a real show. What do you reckon, Josh?
We
still have one show to do, so let's do this show.
Let's do this.
I think the first thing we need to start off with today is, of course, the impending robot apocalypse.
Of course.
The impending robot apocalypse.
Okay, Josh, and this one scares the crapper out of me. Now, I don't know. I hope you have the links in front of you, or you're at least watching the feed, because I'm going to play a video here that is terrifying. I don't know if you remember the robot that came out called Big Dog, the one that was actually supposed to give fluid reaction and movement to a robot for a four-legged creature, and it could actually climb hills, and you could knock it over, and it could get back up, and it was really creepy looking. Yeah. Well, those people have now created something called Pet Man. Now, if this isn't, I'm going to just play this video here in the background. There's no talking. It's just the thing doing its thing. This is Pet Man. And basically, it's a robot. It's a Terminator.
Wow, that is some creepy shit.
It's a fully bipedal walking Terminator with arms. The guy knocks it, and it just keeps on going. And it's on a treadmill here walking along. And what's scary, I think, is this particular movement. Okay, first of all, it gives you the I surrender. No, but then it goes down on one knee, and all I can think is that's just a Call of Duty move. You
know,
that's taking position for a weapon shoot. You know what I mean? So this thing is really scary.
I just saw that. That's so creepy. It looks like mildly human.
Oh, it's horrible. And there it goes down on one knee. And all it needs to do is raise its arms like it was holding a rifle, and we'd be shitting ourselves. So I think
this thing's doing press-ups on me.
Yeah, it does. It does press-ups. And the last shot, which we don't have here on the show because I abridged the video, is it actually does a strut. It walks like John Travolta, and it's actually doing a strut down the walk. And you're sitting there go, oh, no, don't teach it how to strut.
We're all screwed if it learns how to strut.
So all we need is that robot with some articulated hands, because you notice it hasn't gotten hands, but we have done those hands before, so we somehow incorporate those hands, and we've got DARPA's learning computer, which we could, if we could put it into a smaller enough head, we could put it on the head of it, and and that piece of software, remember they were teaching the robot archery and it was getting better?
Yeah.
There you go. We could incorporate that into the Terminator here. And
Jesus.
I think for our last robot apocalypse, that's probably the scariest one I've seen, because they've actually, it's not like a little Azio, what's his name? The little robot, the little Sony thing? Azio or whatever his name is. It's not like that. This is a big old honking great Terminator size thing. You know?
Yes, it is.
But that's not enough. And I think if we're going to do a final robot apocalypse story, we also have to talk about... By the way, that story was also sent to me. That was... Delta sent it to me, obviously. But it was also sent by Rob from The Real Junkies. He sent that through on Twitter and said, you might want to have a look at this. So I thought, yeah, well, okay. Two people have mentioned that. We've got to put it on. But if it's not bad enough that we've got walking Terminators, I think they need air support.
Oh, of course.
Of course. And so what I have here is a video. Now, this one does have sound. But I'll explain it. But first, this is the Navy's experimental, fully unmanned robotic fighter jet. This is not one of those hunters that we see around now. This is actually a full-on fighter jet. It looks like a stealth bomber. And it actually, this video is about the fact that it actually took its first milestone, which is it actually got up into the air, raised its landing gear, and got into full cruise mode. So have a look at this, and this is the air. This is the air support for the robots when they come in on the ground. So all it takes is the learning computers to take control of these, and we're fucked. All right, so it's as simple as that. So here's the. Whoops, that's not it. Where's the video here? I'm clicking the wrong mouse. I got too many mice here. Here we go.
Flight testing of the Navy's Northrop Grumman-built X-47B unmanned combat air system demonstrator reached a major milestone at Edwards Air Force Base, California.
It's a nice-looking aircraft,
September 30th, 2011, the UCAS retracted its landing gear and flew in its cruise configuration for the first time.
It's a sleek-looking aircraft.
The advanced navigation hardware and software that will allow the X-47B to land with precision on the moving deck of an aircraft carrier.
Oh, that's a lovely-looking aircraft. It just scares the crap out of me. There's no pilot.
Yeah.
I love the music they put on it.
It's just so epic.
Ah, and there come the landing gear down again. All right, I think we've seen enough of that. Anyway, so there's your air support. There's your air support for the robots marching in, because now we can see that they actually can march in. They couldn't actually march before. They kind of rolled before. Now they can actually march in, and it makes it all.
Well, now
scary.
We've got all three. We've got the walking Terminators. We've got the the ones with the roller legs. And on top of that, we have air support.
And we have the ones with the artificial skin to be the infiltrators.
Yeah, so all we need to do is build the computer to put them all together, and we'll be fine. Oh, wait. That's right, already under construction.
I think DARPA's working on that one for us, thanks. Well, one of the things we might need when the robot apocalypse has all come and gone, and mankind is left bleeding on the ground, is this next story, which is actually not necessarily robot apocalypse, but I think it's actually apt that it follows. In Habitat.com, has put up a story this week about researchers at the University of Edinburgh who have successfully created artificial oxygen-carrying red blood cells.
What?
They have actually created artificial blood.
Jesus.
So True Blood, the television show, might not have been that far off.
Well, thank God we can bottle it and everybody can drink it. What? No.
It does actually say that the cells aren't synthetic. The cells themselves are created using human stem cells, but they can be manufactured.
Oh. Well, I guess that's a good thing.
Well, it's a great thing for medicine. I mean, if you think about it, how much time and energy is spent on people doing blood drives and so forth. If they could just manufacture all the various blood types and have it, then it might actually be a real boon to medicine.
Yeah.
Especially when our population is greatly reduced by the robots killing us all. I'm just not letting that go, am I?
No, you're really not.
All right. Now, this is let's get on to good news. Let's get on to some better news. How's that sound? We've talked before about e-ink paper. And we've talked before about the idea of foldable paper and so forth. Which company is this? E-ink technology has been taken even further by AU Optronics, who have actually created... I'm going to bring a picture up on screen for the chat room. It's bendable e-ink paper that is self-powered. It actually has solar cells on it. And so, basically, you'll have this this paper that can you. I mean, basically, it's not like a Kindle; you can't continually reload it and blah blah. But it basically is disposable ink paper.
Wow, I like that.
Me too. It says here it's an unplugged, flexible e-paper display. It's sandwiched between two flexible organic TFT displays and a thin film photovoltaic battery to create a self-powered e-reader that can be bent and twisted just like a piece of paper.
That's cool. That's my favorite story so far today.
That's awesome. Because ever since I saw Caprica, the spin-off to Battlestar Galactica, where all of them are reading, like, literally digital paper, and they're folding it up and putting it in their pocket, I thought, we need that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We need that. They're saying it's not as versatile as something like a Kindle or something like that because it doesn't hold very much, and it doesn't, you know, it's literally a disposable.
Dude, it's just a matter of time.
Absolutely, and this is literally, quite literally, a disposable piece of paper. So yeah. I thought that was...
question is, how much does this disposable piece of paper cost?
At the moment, probably about $40 billion a sheet. But yeah, one can only assume that the price will come down over time. Time... Once again, once something is created, it's just a matter of time until it drops in price.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that a laptop computer used to cost $5,000, and now you can pick up a netbook for $300.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know.
So it's as soon as we've created it, it's just a matter of time before it gets smaller, faster, and better. We'll see how we go. My chat room's not scrolling. I'm wondering why nobody said anything in the chat room for a while. It hasn't scrolled. How very strange. Oh, there they all are. Hello, everybody. No more being guilted into donating blood, says Calisint. As we've said before, we do go, well, normally we would go out live on this show, but as of this week, this is the last one, and we do have a chat room. So people, if you hear us talking to a chat room, that's because we have one. All right. What else we got? Oh. I got to show you this. I'm going to just... there's one story before. I'm jumping the gun because it's a story.
Come on,
this,
man.
My favorite,
keep it controlled.
My favorite story of the day is coming up. I'll keep you teased. How's that sound? But in the meantime, I want to show you this video. We just had Halloween. Did you have a fun Halloween, Josh?
It was just a day for me, man.
Yeah, for me too, pretty much.
Yeah. It just wasn't the year for it. The rest of Australia seemed to get really into it, but I missed this year.
Well, my son
too went, much to do.
My son went trick-or-treating, and he got done up as the Joker, and he painted his face and the whole bit. He looked awesome. I might put a picture up in the fan page on Facebook.
Do it.
He looked awesome. He went trick-or-treating. However, in America, they take their trick-or-treating quite seriously, as we all know. And this school teacher, I'm going to show a video now. This school teacher, this is via Geeks Are Sexy, wanted to show an experiment about combustible gases. And it's positively Halloween-themed. So what you're going to see, for those who are listening to the audio, what you're going to see is a school teacher who has a giant pumpkin. And he's filled the pumpkin with combustible gases.
Oh, yes.
So let me fire that video up here, and people in the chat room can have a look at what we're talking about here. Here it is.
So we're going to dump that in now.
All right, so he's dumping in the combustible gases.
Generate that flammable gas. We're trapping the flammable gas in there. And here we go.
And boom! That is awesome. What he basically did was he pre-cut the jack-o'-lantern eyes and mouth and everything out of the pumpkin, but didn't take the pieces out. So when the pumpkin exploded, it blew out all the eye holes and everything, and it turned into a perfect jack-o'-lantern. It's really cute. Really cute. I wanted a science teacher like that when I was in school. Where were my science teachers blowing shit up in class? That's what I want to know.
I imagine he got removed after that.
Or... given a raise for brilliance. One of the two. One of the two. All right, my favorite story of the day. My favorite story of the day is this man. I'm going to bring a picture up in the chat room. Just the picture makes me laugh. We titled this story, Wackos Are Us, because this man, who I put up the police photo of in the chat room, now, when I say where he's from, I'm just loading up the article now. When I say where he's from, you're probably not going to be surprised, but... he was, this is the Centerville Police Department picture. I think he's in the South, I would imagine. Oh, man, the other article had his place of birth. Oh, anyway. But the bottom line is this man shot his neighbor. He's a 53-year-old man who shot his neighbor because he said the neighbor was giving him telepathic threats.
Oh, man, I have that problem all the time. people just sitting in their house just thinking bad things against me. It's just, yeah.
According
it's
to,
just not cool.
According to the article, it actually says... 53-year-old batshit stupid Michael Selinet. Did I tell you I love the way that Geekology writes as well?
Yeah.
It says he basically stares down the police camera for this picture, and the police department said Selinet, however you pronounce his name, has a diminished mental capacity. What, you think? it says here that police say that he believed Pierce, who was a victim, was attempting to break into his trailer, an allegation the suspect had lobbied at the other neighbor, basically telepathically.
Wow.
I love
that's
that story.
That's impressive, man.
I love that story. I just love the idea that this man went, he's trying to hurt me with his mind.
I mean... Yeah, like funny bits aside, I mean, it's incredibly messed up that this guy went over and shot that dude, and we don't condone that in any way. But at the same time, you got to see the humor in that.
Oh, I do. Like,
but at the same time, it's a good thing. There is a moral tale to be had in this. Just think about the neighbors around you, and just remember that you're not safe. Just saying.
Our chat room is saying Freak is saying pedo much. It's true, he does have that kind
that
of
that guy is the creepiest looking dude I have seen in years.
I'm gonna bring him up on screen one more time. Oh yeah, there he is. What a charmer.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
You just know he's a mouth breather, don't you?
Yeah, dude, and that hair, that disgustingly straggly hair. It's just, it's so wrong.
All right. I like him. I think I'll keep him on the board.
No, please don't. Just looking at him scares the crap out of me.
Now, Josh and Snake Oz is in our chat room right now, so he'll appreciate this, which is that we all like quadcopters. We all like the idea with lots of little propeller blades. Well, these scientists in Germany decided that... you know, it would be fun to make a manned version of one of these.
What?
They'd like to make a manned version of essentially what is a quadcopter, but it's not quad because there's a lot more than four rotors, but the same size rotors as a quadcopter. But they put lots and lots and lots of them onto a rigging, and the guy flew.
For how long?
It's called the German eVolo Multicopter. It's the first manned electric multicopter to take flight, according to the company. The pilot was Thomas Senkill, and he flew for approximately 90 seconds, but potential flight time could last as long as 30 minutes. It says, a gas electric hybrid copter could stay afloat for as long as an hour, according to the company. I have video of this man taking flight. So let's have a look at this man taking flight. And all I can think is there's got to be easier ways to fly. But have a look at this. All right. And the thing I love is the fact that he's actually flying it with a remote control. And here he goes. And
wow, it's loud.
Oh, it's a lot of blades. And he is airborne. There he goes. He's a good, I don't know, 10 feet off the ground. He just hovers there for a while and comes back down again. He's hovering, dropping up and down. So I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 or 16 rotors on that thing. I don't know why you wouldn't just save yourself some time and put bigger rotors on. I guess that's not the challenge, is it?
No, it's not.
Snake Oz says iPhone controlled would be better. There you go, and touchdown. I love the fact that he's wearing a parachute. I don't think the parachute's going to work from 10 feet. He looks very satisfied with himself, though. Yeah, he's wearing a parachute, and I think if he jumped off that thing, first of all, you have to clear one of those rotors, which they're all around him, so I don't know if he's going to clear a rotor. The good news is they're very little rotors, so it might not hurt so bad. Freaka said it would get caught in the rotors. Absolutely. But the problem is, by the time the parachute had come out, you'd be already on the ground.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think the parachute's kind of redundant, unless you're going higher. My question is, how high can that thing go?
Actually, that's an interesting question. But, like, you'd want to put some effort into to kind of designing it before you started taking it too high up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would trust the structure all that much. It's pretty thin and dicky looking. But, you know, I don't know. Whatever, look, whatever floats their boats, you know, those Germans are wacky people. What can I tell you?
Yeah, still, they managed to get it off the ground. They managed to make it fly. So from here, it's all uphill.
That's
now
true.
All we need to do is take the person out of them again once we make them that big, and then we've got hunter killers, and then we're all screwed again.
I was about to say, if we put like a little robot brain into the middle of that thing, that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
By the way, I did forget to mention that robot aircraft, the unmanned aircraft that we were talking about before, is a fully armed aircraft. That's a fighter.
Oh.
We're not talking about spy planes. We're not talking about spy planes anymore. We're talking about fighters. The other thing I thought, which we didn't put in the show notes, but I thought we'd just bring up really quickly, is that Texas just got their first remote-controlled helicopter in the police force, and everybody's freaking out about this because it's basically about it's got a camera.
Because it's Texas, let's be honest.
Well, it's Texas, but everybody's basically saying it's, you know, invasion of privacy, and also because this is literally like a remote-controlled helicopter, but it has a camera on it. It actually has beanbags that can be fired out to stun people. And so it's basically used to pursue people, and it can be armed, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, Freak has just said it's weaponizable, yes.
Oh, great.
So, and everybody's freaking out. And apparently the government paid for this copter. It's not Texas. This was actually under the Homeland Security grant that they were getting.
No, I was saying everybody was freaking out because it's Texas.
Well, that's true, too.
And, you know, they freak out about everything.
Video yeah, except games. They also like to arm everything, so.
Well done, Dave. Well done.
Let's not forget that. Okay, here's the story to make you crap your pants. All right, are you ready? This was sent in by Delta, and also Rob tweeted this to me from the Real Junkies again. He tweeted this to me, and I thought, well, this is just too good to pass up. We've all seen the film Armageddon. We've all seen the film Sudden Impact.
Yep.
According to astronomers, now I'm reading the story from Geekology, but of course it originally comes from USA Today. According to astronomers, next Tuesday... so that's only a couple days away here, people. An asteroid the size of an aircraft carrier, approximately 1,300 feet, for those of you who don't know what an aircraft carrier is the size of, will pass closer to Earth than the moon's orbit.
Shit.
So there you go. There's something to make you crap your pants. Now, according to the astronomers, they're saying that it won't hit the Earth. The trajectory has been calculated, but the asteroid dubbed 2005 YU55, boy, that's a catchy name, isn't it?
Yeah, God, man, why did they never come up with interesting names?
Why did they call
things?
It Sally or something?
Yeah.
It will come within 202,000 miles of Earth, closer than the moon, before zipping further into space. Carbon-colored and dark, the asteroid measures some 1,300 feet wide, and it will be the closest visit by a space rock this size in more than three decades.
Shit, man.
So
that's terrifying.
I know. You just think about it. You go, if that thing hit Earth, that's not a world killer, but that would cause a lot of damage.
Yes, it was. Well, so, let's hope they're right, and we can all sleep quietly and peacefully.
That's what I'm hoping. Otherwise, we may not wake up on Wednesday morning.
No.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't, we won't know anyway, so let's not panic about it.
That's true. There's no point in and you know what? We're already saying our goodbyes on the show today.
So. See you later, and if you never hear from the Geek Show again, you know why.
All right. Do you want to see the most uncomfortable toilet I've ever seen? I mean, it's a work of art. It's beautiful, but it's the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen. I'm bringing a picture up in the chat room. This is a toilet made out of circuit boards.
Oh, dear God.
It says here, it costs a cool $6,000 to make this toilet, basically one of a kind, all that sort of stuff, you know? It is made completely out of old circuit boards and other computer bits and pieces. I mean, it's a beautiful looking thing. It's just fantastic from a geek point of view. But all I can think is I don't want to sit on a bunch of circuits. Have you ever felt the circuit board? They're pretty sharp.
Yeah, that does not look at all comfortable.
I could understand if it had like a proper seat on it, but it doesn't even seem to have a proper seat.
No, it doesn't look very comfortable at all.
No.
Apparently, it can be yours for $500, so...
Oh, okay. You know. What was I reading about the cool 6Gs? Oh, no, wait. That's a one-of-a-kind Cylon toilet paper dispenser. Hold on. I got to see that. So, $6,000, you can get a Cylon toilet paper... Oh, that's cool. Oh, I wish I had a picture of that for the chat room. It's actually the old-fashioned Cylon from the 70s series with the moving red eye and the whole bit, and the toilet paper is coming out under its chin.
Oh, dude, that's cool.
I want that. That'll be cool. All right. All right. So, boy, we're making good time here, dude. It's a good thing you've got something good to talk about coming up. Because I've got one more story for you, and then we're going to move into some food. But I got to bring this up because this is just, I don't know, there are times where I love being a geek and there are times where I sit there and go, really? My brothers are doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, they're holding the Quidditch World Cup.
The Quidditch World Cup.
Yeah.
Is this based on the video game or?
No, it's based on Harry Potter, the movies and the book.
No. I'm saying, how is the game being played out?
Oh, it's on the ground, but they have little brooms between their legs.
What?
They run around, and they've adapted the rules of Quidditch to make it, basically, they're calling it Muggle Quidditch.
No, dude, when we get rich and famous, I'm going to hire a squad of people, right? And this squad of people's sole job in life is going to be to find stories like that and go around in big, burly trench coats and slap these people. And that'll be their job. Essentially, it'll be like, no, you're giving us all a bad name. Stop it.
Freak in the chat room has said, you would look like totally stupid. Absolutely. Okay, according to this article, which is in Geeks Are Sexy, and they are not in this particular case, but it says, just because there may not be any more Harry Potter movies doesn't mean you can't enjoy a rousing game of Quidditch. The real sport based on the fictional one. And if you're interested in a serious Quidditch team, look no further than the International Quidditch Association. The governing body founded in 2007 after the first intercollegiate Quidditch match. It is comprised of over 1,000 teams.
What?
1,000 teams from around the world.
We're
going to
need a bigger team of guys.
It says they're primarily from the U.S. and Canada. Of course it is. It says, if you want to see what it's all about, you could hit up the Quidditch World Cup later this month on November 12th to 13th at Randall's Island, New York City. 100 teams.
Dude, I hope that stuff is fucking transmitted out to the world because I want to watch these dudes.
Oh, it's got to show up on YouTube.
Yeah.
There is YouTube video there. I did find some YouTube video which actually shows a Quidditch match in action, and I couldn't actually make heads or tails of what they were doing.
So what, can I just bring up an interesting point, David?
Oh, maybe please you can do. Help
me. Now, if I remember Quidditch correctly, which I'm pretty good at this, my reminder of it was there was a very small ball that flew around on its own.
Yeah, I'm not sure
are we replicating that?
Maybe there's a man running around with a big stick and a ball on a string. That would be funny.
Yeah, I gotta say, this game ain't selling me.
Can we just
create a really detailed video game so these guys can do what FIFA players do and just sit in their rooms and play these games?
Callicent in the chat room says, next there will be Muggle Hogwarts, where Muggles can go to learn quote-unquote magic.
I would like to see that.
And my son in the chat room has said, that would hurt your balls. Absolutely. Running around with a broom between your legs the whole time? I think it would. Yes. I think this is insane. I think it's an event featuring bands including Wizard Rock. Oh, God, have you heard some of that?
Wizard Rock, yeah.
Oh, man. Circus performers, owls, and improv comedians as announcers.
Oh, shit.
Oh, and Callis in our chat room says he bets it's live streamed. I sure hope so.
God, yes.
If this is live streamed, I'm watching. At least for about 30 seconds.
If this wasn't the last Geek Show, man, I'd totally today we should cover that.
We could probably do a commentary on it.
Dude, that would have been amazing.
Specials and stuff we might still do. So
yeah, maybe we can yearly cover the Quidditch World.
We'll feed their live feed into our live feed and just revoice the whole thing. There you go. There's a plan. I can never say the name. Katana in our chat room basically says we should start a team. No, bad Katana.
You're out of the chat room. Time out. 5 minutes.
Not going to happen. I don't know if I want to run around with a broom between my legs. Callisynth has also said, actually, now that I think about it, I prefer these people to the people who think Twilight is real.
Yeah.
I don't know. It walks a fine line with me. I think if you take anything too far, it just gets a little bit ridiculous. Okay, Josh.
Yes.
Weird food. And yeah. I thought if we're going to go out this week, we're going to go out with a bit of a bang. And Delta didn't disappoint. Now, Delta couldn't make it to the chat room today, by the way. He's got things on. So he doesn't actually know we're finishing this week, which is I'm going to have to get in touch with him. But he did go out with a bang on this one. And he found us this. I'm putting it up on screen. This is edible spray paint. No longer do you just have to ice stuff. You can just grab your edible spray paint and just spray it. And in the picture, we've got a chicken being sprayed gold. I don't trust anything like that. I'm sorry.
Then again, dude, a gold chicken.
A gold chicken. Now, this is the part that gets me. Now, it's spelt differently. I am aware of that. But on the sides of the cans, this is a German product. And on the sides of the cans, it's actually called Esslack, Esslack. And all I can think is when I see that, if you just say it really fast, Esslack, it sounds like the...
Esslacks.
It sounds like Esslacks.
Esslacks, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It sounds a little bit like the bowel mover, you know? So I think they might want to change the name if they bring it to the rest of the world.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I think people might just go, oh, dear. I had that picture of the toilet up for way too long, apparently. So the chat room's all yelling at me now. Sorry, I forgot to switch. I was too busy talking about Quidditch.
It's fascinating. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought it was fascinating. All right, Josh, this is our picks of the week. And I believe you have a new toy.
Oh, yes. God, yes, I do.
Tell us all about it.
Some people in the chat room that also venture into rawdlc.com, which is, of course, the gaming website we have, may already know this. But I got a new computer, Dave.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest, and this purchase was based entirely on playing Battlefield 3. There are other advantages to it, like being able to play all the other games that are coming out for the rest of this year and then hopefully the next year and maybe a half. But essentially, this game was played primarily for Battlefield 3. Just one more time, for Battlefield 3.
So this computer was built for Battlefield 3.
Yes, I literally got this computer based on the fact that its specs were good enough to play Battlefield 3 successfully.
Wow.
That's
dedication to a game.
It's dedication to being a gamer, Dave. And you know what, man?
But will it play Crysis at full resolution?
Funnily enough, it will play Crysis on Ultra.
Oh, so. Wow. There you go. A computer that can actually do it.
Now, I will go as far as to say it doesn't run very well.
Aww.
But there are very few computers that can.
All right, question is, how well does it run Battlefield 3?
Oh, dude, just perfectly.
Very nice. All right, tell us about it.
For the really tech nerds, it does only run, if I keep it in higher, it does only run at about 35 frames a second, which isn't great. You want it at like 40.
Right.
But it's all about the pretty for me. Anyway, so yes, to break down, because I'm sure there'll be people that want to know, it probably sucks. Little geek man, when did you become such a nasty person?
He's a Mac boy, leave him alone.
Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway, so the computer I'm rocking has a Core i7 processor. That's the second generation, 2650 QM, I think, is the processor chip, 2 gigahertz.
Yep.
It is running 8 gigs of RAM. It has a NVIDIA Optimus graphics card, which is a, this is only for the really tech nerds, a NVIDIA 540M,
mm-hmm.
which is a GeForce, 2 gigabytes. And then on
top
of it.
2 gigabyte video card?
Hmm?
2 gigabyte video card?
Yes.
Holy dooly. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, it works very, very well.
Oh, sure.
And then on top of that, it has every little functionality and feature I should want. It's got two USB 3 ports. It's got a Blu-ray drive in it. And the price was amazing.
Wow. Wow. Sounds beautiful. How big is the screen, sorry?
It's a 15.6-inch screen.
Oh, nice size screen, too, for gaming.
Oh, yes. And the best thing about it, Dave?
Yeah?
Guess how much it cost.
All right. First of all, for our listeners, what's it retail?
It retails at $16.99.
$16.99. Okay. What did you get it for?
$6.50.
Ah! Oh, did it fall off the back of a truck?
No, it was X-Display at a store, just at a store.
There's a secret for you guys. When you're going in looking at computers and something is end of life, try and get that floor model.
Yeah, yeah. This is a piece of advice for people when you're buying computers, and it's not just working at a store or anything like that. If you can get in and look at those Q models, a lot of the time these things roll in and out of stores very quickly, and people avoid them because they think there's something wrong with it. No way. Those are the computers to get, man.
And they're fully covered by warranty.
Exactly.
So, and the beautiful thing is if you get a floor model and within the first 2 weeks or something like that, it busts on you, they're going to replace it with a non-floor model. So, you know, these are the little tricks. And floor. There's nothing wrong with floor
exactly.
models. I mean, as long as it's structurally sound, like the keys haven't been chipped off it or something like that. You're right. Most of those floor models are only on the floor for literally a couple of weeks and they're gone.
Hmm.
And I bought my my 5.1 surround sound system was a floor model, and I got $100 off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
2 years later, still working perfectly fine. So I have no problem with that. I think
sorry, my mic just went off for a moment there. Yeah, no, I agree, Dave. Absolutely.
Well, Callison says he does that for TVs.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. You try and grab the floor models for stuff like that. TVs I'm a little bit warier of because places like JB, Harvey Norman, and so forth, they have them running all day long. And that's a lot of wear and tear. But it depends on how long
they've been.
Yeah, it depends on how long the TV's been on the floor. I mean, those plasma panels are now rated at 20 years or something like that. So they should last as long as they're not getting burn in. And LCD screens don't get burn in.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, and Freak says, my old PC is too old for gaming. Oh, okay. Freak says, now I would be divorced if I got into PC gaming again. I play my PS3 more than my PC nowadays. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I play my Xbox more than I play computer games on the computer. Although, now that I've moved into this new house, that may change.
Really?
Well, because now I've got easier access to all my computers.
That's true.
Because remember, all my computers were in the studio, which used to be upstairs. Now the studio is actually on the same level, so I can probably start getting back into computer gaming.
You better.
Ah, well, and if I'm not doing a Geek Action Show, I might have more time. Ha, bazinga! Yeah. Anyway, I just want to let everybody know that Jacob Oberman called me this morning to say that he was very sad that Geek Action was finishing, but he was, you know, he basically saying, you know, good luck on everything that we do in the future. And of course, he will continue listening to Film Actually. And he might even come on and try and guest with us in the new year because he's going to be in Sydney.
So, nice.
So I said, yes, Jake, absolutely. Come and him and Richard can basically be film wankers together.
Oh, yes, it'll be great.
Wouldn't it be great? They could see if they could...
There'll be a whole lot of film wanking.
I was about to say something that would have actually sounded all wrong. I was about to say they could see who could outwank each other. that just didn't work.
No, it worked.
Oh, dear. All right. Now, I have... do I have a pick of the day? Do I have a pick of this week? I don't even know if I have a pick of this week. I haven't actually been doing a lot because it's been such a chaotic week. No, actually, I haven't got a pick of this week, so I'm going to let your computer ride all on its own.
Aw, aren't you nice?
I have to because I have one. it's been a really crazy week. But I want people to make sure they do listen to Film Actually this week because we've got feature film review, but I also got to see a little bit of footage from Mission Impossible 4 this week, and I'll talk a little bit about that because it was pretty impressive. I'll talk a little bit about that. I just thought we'd take this final few moments here, Josh, and talk about the show a little bit because we are finishing up. Oh, wait a minute. I do have a feedback. We should probably do this feedback really quickly. Tristan actually sent through a bunch of links. Now, some of these links we covered in the show. He actually talked about the Two Steps Away from Terminator, which is that that walking robot again. And he also talked about the fact that Panasonic's little Evolta robot actually competed in an Iron Man triathlon. That's kind of scary. These are all Robot Apocalypse news. He basically starts the email by saying, "Hey guys, I thought this was rather creepy. A very humanoid looking and moving robot. All they need is the skin, and are we there? Are the tethers and foam cushions on the post to stop him from going mental or taking over the world?" For those who didn't watch the video, he's chained up. You can actually see the cables going off of him. They're actually just to stop him falling over. So he's
that's what they say.
He's self-standing. The idea is that because he's an experimental model, of course, that he might still trip. And if he trips, they don't want to destroy their robot. So the cables are actually loose. They're not holding him up. But if he goes to fall, it's like a seatbelt. It's on a friction catch. And if he starts to fall, it'll stop him from hitting the ground. Because I'm sure that robot probably cost $1 million, you know what I mean? And they don't want to break him. But it's terrifying. He says, "All we need now is for him to be riding this extremely cool but expensive-looking kind of light cycle." Now, I don't have the picture for the chat room, but if you go to the link, it's basically a very high-tech-looking motorcycle that when you look at it, you go, how does a person actually sit on that? Well, a person isn't designed to sit on it. It's designed for a robot to sit on it.
Oh.
Which I thought was kind of freaky because the legs have to be able to fold up. Basically. So they're even planning the vehicles for these robots that are going to kill us.
Why not?
And of course, we've got a robot competing in the triathlon. I'm sorry, it's a robot. A triathlon is supposed to be a feat of human endurance and human skill. You can't put a robot into it. That's not fair.
You know, man, I'm just going to be controversial here and say that that sounds a little bit like robotist, which is kind of like racism, but against robots, man. Let them compete, man. That's all right.
Little Geek actually says we should just let that robot break. Let it fall over and break. He says, break it, people. And the last story he sent through was that story I was talking about before, which is the Texas Sheriff's Office receiving their weaponizable drone, which I thought was terrifying. So those links will be in our show notes. And thank you very much, Tristan, for sending in that email. We will put all of those in there for you. Rest of those emails are for film, actually. So we'll get back to those. So I just thought we would take a few minutes. Well, I'm just putting things away. So I'm alone in this room, so it's kind of weird. I just thought we'd take a few minutes and talk about that it's been a wonderful ride, Josh, with the Geek Action Show.
It has been a wonderful ride.
You joined us, 2 years ago? And the show was a very different show back then, of course. It was a film show mixed with a tech show, and it was all kind of a hybrid. And over the years, we have manipulated it and twisted it and moved it and changed it and so forth. And, you know, it's just come to a time where the film show basically does double the numbers of the Geek Show. So it kind of shows you where the real interest lies. And, of course, we've also got this conflict of interest that's coming up. So it just has to go, unfortunately. It's one of those things. But I never count anything as dead. Because I look at it and go, you know, in 6 months' time, a year's time, who knows where we'll be and what we'll be at. And we might go, you know what, let's bring that show back, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to also reiterate is that we are going to do occasional specials and things. If something really comes up or crops up that we need to do, we might record a special and throw it on the feed. So if you are subscribed to the Geek Actually iTunes feed or something like that, keep that subscription going because you never know. We might be throwing stuff up there. Every now and again. And of course, we also have the film actually, and now the behind the panels feeds as well.
Yeah,
We are going to set up a new feed. I've been planning this all week. I just haven't had a chance to finalize it. I'm going to set up a Geek Actually mega feed, which will have all of the shows. Everything that we do will go into one feed. And that'll be like a one-stop shop that you can grab. Yeah, so we'll do that as well. So, in fact, what you might want to do is, once the mega feed is set up, just subscribe to the mega feed and, you know, you'll know if anything special comes up, like Geek Actually specials or anything like that. So, that's that, really. I think that's all I've got. I don't have any more to go. Have you got anything you want to add?
No, I'm good, actually. Everybody, just quickly on the games front, people, don't forget Skyrim is coming out, well, by the time this episode goes up this week on the 11th, and it is going to be amazing is all I'm going to say. Definitely worth getting your hands on that. And of course, if you haven't already got into either PC Battlefield, Uncharted, any of the sports games that are currently out, there is just so much out there right now. So if you're a half if you're a halfway gamer and you're thinking about buying games, now is the time to go out and have a look at some of the titles, because there is a lot of value out there at the moment.
Cool. Absolutely excellent. All right. Well, I guess seeing as we're doing plugging like this, let's do the full plug. Where else can people find you, Josh?
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. We've just chucked up a whole bunch of new stuff, and we have a couple of new videos coming up. We have our thoughts on Call of Duty, which has, of course, already become controversial, because apparently it's not a good idea to have a video of Call of Duty wearing Battlefield shirts. It was just a gag, guys. Don't fucking roast us. We were just playing around. And second of all, both games deserve credit. So, yeah, go and check that out. And, of course, all the other videos we have floating around as well.
Fair enough. All right. I just want to throw out a huge thank you to all the people who've come through the chat room over the last couple of years while we were doing live shows. I want to do a huge thank you to all those who do listen to the Geek Actually Show for sticking with us and listening to us. As I say, it's a very sad day for us to finish. I want to say a huge thank you to all the guests that we've had on over the years. You know who you are. There's too many to list. But I just want to say thank you to everybody who has been a guest on Geek Actually. And for those who are film related, remember, you can still be guesting on that show. So I won't do the feedback lines or anything, because there's kind of no point. We won't be able to read feedback on this. We'll do feedback on Film Actually.
It's really sad.
It is. But we can say that you can get merchandise and you can follow us, because we're still around and we're still online. Join fan pages, do all that wonderful stuff. Just go to geekactually.com. There's a follow us button and you'll be able to find all of us. If you want something slightly more direct, you can go to @DavidMcVeigh or @GeekActually on Twitter, or @DogMeat. Now, that's a hard one to spell. The link is on the front page of Geek Actually. And if you also want to, you can follow our fan page, which is Facebook.com/geekactually. So we're everywhere, and we're also on Google Plus, and you can search for us there. You search for us by name on Google Plus.
We're everywhere.
We are everywhere, so you can find us everywhere. And of course, we're still here at geekactually.com, where we will continue doing podcasts, just not this one. So with that all being said, we're going to finish the show with something slightly different today. Normally we would finish with the Geek Actually theme, Richard sent us through a piece of music this morning when he sent his little audio recording through, called, now you're the music person, so you might know who this is by. He didn't send who it's by. It's actually the song is called, Vanderline, Crybaby Geeks.
Nope.
So I don't know who it's by. We're going to play a little bit of that as our closing music. Basically, it's a very sad little song, and it's got geeks in the title. And I just thought that was lovely. And he sent that as basically our farewell to you people. For those who are in the live room, stick with us. Film Actually follows in about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to be reviewing Anonymous and talking a little bit about other films as well, of course. And for those who are listening to this on audio, Film Actually will be out on Monday. Josh, goodbye.
See you later, guys.
Goodbye, my friend.
Yeah, well, not to you.
No, I'm saying for this show.
Yeah, but see you to everyone else. Thanks for showing up. This is going to be something that I'm really going to be sad to get rid of, to be honest.
Yeah, me
too. I kind of love talking about the tech, so we'll have to keep it going on the website, and perhaps we can put up some posts with some links and stuff like that for people to click on or something.
Absolutely. And we're not going to say goodbye here. What we're going to say is we're just going to say geek on. What do you reckon?
Absolutely. Geek on, guys.
Geek on, everybody. See you later. Bye-bye. Vanderline, cry, baby, cry. Oh, the waters are rising. Still no surprise in you. Vanderline, cry, baby, cry. Man, it's all been forgiven. Swans are swimming. I'll explain everything to the geek. For the very best of us, string ourselves up for the